meditation for you, because it's the main thing is to find the groove for you. And sometimes I recommend people do some sort of exercise before they sit down, because if your mind is active and you don't exercise and you sit him down and try to discipline him to go deep, forget it. It's not going to happen. So there has to be some sort of exhaustion to make it stay at home and enjoy the house, the home.
There is also what you expressed, there's this desire when in that groove not to come back, mm-hmm. not to leave that state. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is impossible.
Seems so.
It's impossible because until one realizes oneself completely, then there is no use of staying in that state. Coming back, and then the same thing is all over again. So really what we talk about here more than anything else, and if you have questions please do, is we talk about art of living, because there is a lot of spirituality for those of us that are there in this room and been here for quite some time. There is a lot of spirituality, or there are a lot of paths and meditation that goes on, and they are very, very beneficial, but somehow leaves people in a almost the same way of living, you know, the same reactive way, you know, very reactive way. I'm not saying any of us are like this, but I'm just saying that this is the main focus of what we do here, so that we can, by the truth, what is the truth, to move from the reactive way to a passively very alert way of living. And not try to run away from our responsibility, but to be in it and not of it, like Mihaela was saying. I have seen people that meditate for years and years and years, and many, many hours. And believe me, the only thing that happens is they just make them be able to handle the world even less. They become even more sensitive to day-to-day work. So the combination of spirituality has to be mixed with the art of living, which means applying it consciously. It is extraordinarily beautiful to transcend and go in a state of samadhi, but to realize who you are with eyes open consciously, that's where makes this day-to-day life more peaceful. And at times facing oneself is the hardest thing to face, but then after that initial discomfort, we find out that this is really, really home, really, really home. Any other questions before we go on?
I have a comment. Mm-hmm. You told us in one of the past meetings, mm-hmm. that Sai Baba said our state of being is to be happy.
That's
we're
right.
Nothing but happy.
Yes.
But I find that qualifying somehow, and I can't say that when I'm meditating and I'm quiet and still and be, I can't say that I'm happy or unhappy.
Yes.
Or angry or sad or anything. Mm-hmm. I think I can't say I'm happy. I'm just.
You just are.
Just am.
Yes, absolutely. When he said you're be happy or your happiness, he doesn't mean ha ha ha. He doesn't mean that type of happiness that normally a human being experiences. When he was saying to me some years ago to be happy, he was saying that your being is happiness, but not the world happiness. It is, there is this bliss and okay, like you were saying, that this extreme okayness with yourself, extreme at the right place at the right time type of thing. And actually, by saying it that way, he put a stop to a lot of emotions, because so many emotions would say we're sad, we're happy, we're fearful, we're shy, we're this and that. And then if we translate all of that to this state, we realize that we're none of the above, you know? And with fear and anxiety or any discomfort, if we can follow the trace of it to the mind and transcend, we will see that it will transcend itself. It will no longer be there. It just transcends itself. So yes, you're absolutely right. In a state of being, although at times you will experience ecstatic happiness, ecstatic joy, or bliss, but in underneath it all is just like a deep, deep sleep. You know how when you are deep sleep, you are not aware of the world, nor are you aware of your own existence as body and mind. And that is the true state of the absolute. Any other question? We read many books, many holy and saint people say that we are not the body and we are not the mind. And how often do we actually realize that, truthfully, during the day? That we don't mistake to be the mind and the body. That's right, this much. But that's not that at all. Because we are not in a state of natural state. In a natural state, we will be using the mind and the senses minimal. And so, as I was mentioning it in some time ago, then we will be removing ourselves from a reactive karmic law, cause and effect and reincarnation, and all that junk that comes with one umbrella. When we start being rather than becoming, we move ourselves under the umbrella of grace, meaning that naturally the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent is in action. And how do we do that? By the contemplation, by differentiating what is permanent and what is transient, and staying in the ground of permanency. What is permanent? If the body is permanent, we stay in that ground, but it isn't. If the thoughts were permanent, then we would give it a lot of power, but it isn't. Do they just come and go? Another thing that I would like to, for some unknown reason, I'm jumping all over the place tonight, but I'm sure that there's a purpose for every one of us tonight. When we do have a repeated thoughts, and I'm sure that most of us will have at times the repeated thoughts, and can anybody from their own experiences from the past being here remember how, what we do with it? And are we using that method? What do we do with the repeated thoughts?
The two things you can do is just a step, or you can use your sword to
eliminate. Yeah, we were talking about repeated thoughts, that sometimes they come as soon as our weakness comes to the surface. And the best remedy that I have practiced and had a very, very good rapport with it is that when we do have a repeated thoughts because we gave it attention, we looked at it. Either they feared us or they interest us in a loving way. It didn't matter. They just took our interest. So in that situation, when we do have a repeated thoughts, the best way is that just imagine these are the thoughts that are repeated. And just we completely stop, like Ida was saying, to look at it. And the thought gets energy. There are impulses that are get. The more attention we give it, the more energy it picks. So you just don't go with it. You just don't look at it. And after a while, you realize it's not there anymore. So what can be a scarecrow, thank you. We realized that it was not even real. It was made out of cloth or our imagination. So we just stop. We're sort of reviewing tonight. Any other subject that you guys want to review?
How do you use the sword? What thought do you have?
The sword that we use is the sword of truth. Whatever comes to our mind and our senses that indicates the false, the temporary, the illusion, we just very secretly and very consciously, we take the sword of truth and we just eliminate it through our consciousness. And he can talk about it because he practices it. You know, it's more for the man.
I don't know how to express it very well. Sometimes it comes right, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it right now. Sorry.
Yeah. And this is the sort of truth. And what happens is after a while, automatically your mind will do it. The same mind that causes trouble, when you train it to not accept the temporary and the false, what happens is as if the mind already has a sword. Like a news come to you, and you immediately, the mind will drop it because it's not real. It's just not real. By elimination, who you really are just will come to the surface. It would be just like this. The more you eliminate, doesn't mean that you don't have the light. It's just being covered by the beliefs. So when you use your sword, what is underneath it is already who you are. So these are little tricks that we use at times, in different times. The society is brainwashed by the false, and so we need to be able to come back to that trust, and to that home, to that security that is always there as that ultimate existence. And in that we'll find peace and tranquility. And this is not a theory. Anybody that does it, you should know, you know. Anybody that does it will experience peace. Right, Ida? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a myth, and I really try very hard in these classes to not keep it as a myth, but something that you own it, something that you have it, something that becomes our own by practice. How about you?
Well, you're right. You're true about it. It is difficult, though, sometimes in your reactive world, because you make the reality, but it's also perceptional. You know what I mean? It's,
yes.
It's not real. It is. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, I deal with a lot of youth, and they have a lot of, I look at their inner person,
mm-hmm.
at their natural state, because that's where I can teach them.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so reactive,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And troubled,
mm-hmm.
sometimes. So it's difficult for me to stay in my natural state,
mm-hmm.
to connect with them in their natural state.
That's right.
Sometimes I react.
Course.
They react, and we're both reacting.
That's right.
And it may not always be positive.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm using words that I don't
yes.
mean in uh-huh. definition.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you go home and you contemplate this, and you go, no, it's not real. You know, it's. Mm-hmm.